Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to discuss seven things you shouldn't do. Now, that sounds negative, but it's not.
Okay.
Good. I mean, it really turns into a positive because it helps us in our daily living.
That's right.
The key to future success is our ability to be a blessing to others, as God's word directs, even though there's no obvious benefit to it. Philippians 2:3, Classic Amplified Bible. Do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to yourself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. In reading this verse, we learn there are seven things we're told not to do.
That's true.
Number one, do nothing from factional motives. According to dictionary.com, the word factional means self-interested. Sadly, many people are only interested in whether or not something benefits them. Some have the illusion that being of a service or a servant to others is a noble attitude to be displayed when your neighbors will notice, or in some case, in national and international emergencies, when the cameras are running and the world will notice. For some, recognition and or fame drives their desire to serve others. While the scripture points out the service to others, well, that's a criteria for greatness. Matthew 20:26, Contemporary English Version. Don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. Wow. When a verse is repeated twice in scripture, you can know that it must be important to God. And if it's important to Him, it better be important to us.
That's true.
Now, I just read you Matthew 20:26, but listen to Mark 10:43 in the Contemporary English Version. Don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. The two scriptures point out that greatness is personified in the service of others. And they're exactly the same. Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. If you want to be great, considered great in the kingdom of God, serve someone else when nobody's looking.
And it just so happened that we saw on a little YouTube video, somebody saw Keanu Reeves, the actor, come on a bus, looked like.
And he subway. Was, it was the subway.
Sitting down anyway, and they were filming him, I'm sure much, you know, and he didn't know it. And a woman walked on, not even an old woman, and he got up and offered her the seat and stood. You know, some people are just, I've read that he's a really upstanding young man. Anyway, number two, do nothing through contentiousness. According to dictionary.com, the word contentiousness is listed as listed in this Philippians 2:3 in the Amplified Bible, is defined as tending to argument, quarrelsome. Have you been around people who just, wow, anyone who just likes to argue? Maybe it's a family member, a friend or a coworker who just, or just someone you know you sit by in a restaurant. Certain people seem to relish arguing about everything with anybody. Well, anyway, it's easy to get drawn into discussions with contentious people. However, we strongly recommend to avoid the temptation. Actually, it's not even a temptation to me. You certainly do, you know, want to act, well,
you want to act and be known,
yeah,
as that kind of a person,
if you're going to do, yeah, anyway, I just don't like contentiousness.
No.
But anyway. There is some, you know, part of this argumentative stuff because it's the only way that I guess they can feel good about themselves, yeah, is if they win an argument. But we have neither the time or the interest, for sure I don't, in delving into discussing or dissecting, I mean, you know, inane things. And even the scriptures, you just, okay, let me go on.
Are people who are argumentative?
Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:22. In the Message Bible, run away from infantile indulgence. How about that? Run after mature righteousness, faith, love, peace. Now we're talking. Joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. Refuse to get involved with inane discussions. They always end up in fights. God's servant must not be argumentative.
That's very good.
That is.
Number three, do nothing through strife. James 3:16. For envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work.
You know, I love I think it's the Living Bible that says, through envy and strife and confusion is every evil thing. Yeah. And I thought, every evil, I mean, think of that, every evil thing. Wow.
You know, honey, you know, and some of the folks who listen every day know, that I have a historical background in politics and a unique understanding of how the system works. What motivates and or frustrates voters. One of the things I dislike intensely is when people interrupt and talk over other people without letting them express their opinion.
Which is most every news story, news group you
see. See, even if I completely disagree with what you're saying, I'm going to wait my turn to speak. Doing anything else is just plain rude and creates strife. I find it interesting that the Greek word for strife, G2052, is defined in Strong's Concordance, means electioneering or intriguing for office, a desire to put oneself forward. I'd say it's an apt description of the state of political dialogue in this country. However, it becomes even more interesting when you realize the Greek root word for strife, G2042 means to stir up, to provoke. When you provoke someone, you're causing trouble that will come back to haunt you.
Wow. Four, do nothing selfish with selfishness. I can give you, or we can give you really, a great reason not to be selfish. And it's confirmed with an almost identical scripture found in three of the Gospels. Matthew 16:24, New Living Translation. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. And over in Mark 8:34 in the New Living Translation, it says, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. And again in Luke 9:23, New Living Translation, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke all found this to be extremely important because they put it in their gospel.
Absolutely.
But bottom line, the point is, God doesn't want us to just be selfish. In fact, Philippians 2:4 in the Classic Amplified admonishes us to be always concerned about others and the interest of others. It says, let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned not merely for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Our thoughts and actions will either be dominated by our flesh, which is selfish, or the spirit, which is selfless. But we have to be the ones who choose.
That's it. Number five, do nothing for unworthy ends. If something is not worthy, let me say it this way. If something's not unworthy, then it's worthy. So clearly the scripture's telling us to do things that are worthy of our lineage as a joint heir with Christ and our calling.
We do represent him.
We do. Ephesians 4:1, Classic Amplified Bible. I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you've been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's servants.
That's always been a favorite of mine.
In the final analysis, you want to be declared worthy. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, Classic Amplified. With this in view, we constantly pray for you, that our God may deem and count you worthy of your calling in his every gracious purpose of goodness, and with a power may complete in you your particular, every particular work of faith. Faith which is that leaning and learning of the whole human personality on God, and absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness.
The Lord showed me what that meant one time. It was very good.
If you want to hang around with worthy people, prove yourself to be worthy. Matthew 10:11, Contemporary English. So when you go to a town or village, find someone worthy enough to have you as their guest and stay with them until you leave. Wow.
You know, number 6 says, do nothing through conceit. There's really, well, there's a scripture where conceited is actually used, and it's in Proverbs 16:5 in the Contemporary English Version. And this is what it says. The Lord doesn't like anyone who is conceited. You can be sure they will be punished. Wow. And if that's not clear enough, really, consider the words of Proverbs 16:5 done in the Classic Amplified Bible. Everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge it, they will not go unpunished. So if you got a person in the workplace who seems to run around and be conceited, of course, I think a lot of times people, well, are conceited because they're trying to make themselves look good because they don't feel good about themselves.
I agree with that.
Anyway, know this, it does not impress the Lord.
Absolutely. Number 7, do nothing from empty arrogance. No doubt about it, arrogance will always be exposed. 1 Samuel 2:3, New Living Translation. Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows what you've done, and he will judge your actions. You know, it's kind of sad, but arrogant people seem to always lie. Psalm 59:12, New Living Translation. Because of the sins from their mouths and the words on their lips, let them be trapped by their own arrogance, because they speak curses and lies. We've also found that arrogance knows no boundaries. Proverbs 21:24, New Living Translation. An arrogant, conceited person is called a mocker. His arrogance knows no limits. And arrogance, well, it wants to exalt itself above everything and everybody else. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Wow. And above all their intellectual arrogance that oppose the knowledge of God, we take captive every thought so that it'll be obedient to Christ. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do.
Amen.
You know, we began this teaching with Philippians 2:1-4. And we want to close it with that passage, this time from the Message Bible.
If you've gotten anything out at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. That's well said out of the Message.
It is, and good advice. Hallelujah. Think about these things.
Yes.
This passage really kind of provokes you thinking.
It does.
And it's very clear. Hallelujah. If you're blessed by the teaching or the ministry, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says Soul Seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.